Welcome to the Semi Balance Podcast. I'm Julie, and I have with me a beautiful guest. Her name is Sandra, and she is with the Hope My Smile Makes You Smile. She is going to let you know. She is amazing. She does so much good for this world. But I'm going to turn the floor over to her so she can introduce herself to you guys. And you guys are going to love her. I'm going to let her, you know, tell you how to follow her and help her out on every platform she has. So, Sandra, how are you doing?
I am awesome. Thank you for asking. And thank you so much for the invite. This is so awesome to connect with new people and more people.
Yes, it is. And that's what we're all about. Lift others up. Exactly.
Yes.
So I brought you on because I know you have a story, but your website alone is just amazing how you help others and the mental health that you really, really care. And you can feel it in everything that you post, everything you do. And I'm like, this girl has either been really hurt or, I mean, you have to walk the path in order to get that. I know that because I've walked that path. So I'm like, she's been through it and I know it. And that's why I brought you on. I can feel everything that you have posted. And I'm like, girl.
Well, I really appreciate you. My organization appreciates you. But let me tell you a little about myself. My name is Sandra Roldan Pines. I am a mother of five. I have three grandchildren. And my middle child, Justin, committed suicide at the age of 31 on May 17th, 2020. This motivated me to become a certified mental health first aider. And I started the Instagram page called Hope My Smile Make You Smile to help spread the motivation, to help spread and motivate people that are suffering silently from depression, anxiety, PTSD, and other mental illnesses. I want to stop the stigma that depression is not a sign of weakness and it is okay to talk about it. It can save lives if we just talk about what's going on with us.
Yes, 100%.
Yes, yeah. So let me first explain what mental health is. And a lot of people, they have an idea or they may think that they know what mental health is, but mental health is a state of well-being in which an individual realizes their abilities that they can cope with normal stresses of life, can work productively and fruitfully, and can contribute to their community. A mental health first aid teaches how to identify, how to understand and respond to signs of mental illness and substance abuse disorders. We are skilled to provide initial support to someone who may be developing mental health or substance use problem and help connect them with an appropriate supports and treatments. And we do have where I know I personally have a lot of resources where I can get people information regarding mental health, regarding anxiety, depression, just issues that people are going through on a day-to-day basis. And even people that are self-medicating because of this, because they don't really know how to control not taking medication just to stop thinking about certain things. I use what they call the ALGEE action plan. And what it is ALGEE. And it's an action plan that helps us recognize the stresses and the issues. And A is for assess. So we assess for risk of suicide or harm. L is for listen, which is non-judgmentally listening. And G is to give reassurance and information. E is to encourage appropriate professional help. And E also encourage to self-help and other support strategies. And that's pretty much what a mental health first aider does. I took it a little further upon myself where I became certified in certain certifications. I became certified in mental health awareness for adults, drug and alcohol awareness, depression awareness, child mental health well-being, psychology, grief and bereavement, which is a big part of what me personally go through and what I, when I consult as well, and anxiety awareness. And I counsel on mental health issues, especially individuals that are having issues with substance abuse, like I said, and are possibly maybe thinking of suicide, you know? And I identify with individuals struggling with mental health. Not many individuals, like we said, they don't like talking about it. They don't like talking about their mental health status at all. So they build up an emotional feelings inside without a way of verbally self-expressing themselves. And when this happens, it becomes very dangerous to the individual and others who are struggling with their mental health and do not see a way out but suicide. And I felt that was kind of my son's story. He was so depressed and so deep into it that he didn't know how to reverse it or how to cure it or do something about it. My son was 31, and like I said, he passed away, or he committed suicide on May 17th, 2020. Now that is the day that I found him. But honestly, I think he passed prior to that. I think he either passed either May 15th, late night, or May 16th on Saturday, which is heart-wrenching for me, because I keep thinking, as everyone does, even as a parent or someone that lost someone, I should have been there. I should have got in touch with him a lot more. I mean, even though I was calling and texting, I'm thinking that he was probably sleeping, because he had just came back from a trip from, he drove all the way from Florida and back to visit a friend, a friend, like a brother, where his mother passed the week before.
Oh, wow.
So he was already upset and depressed. And so he came home on the 15th. I remember seeing him on the 15th, on May 15th, around 8 o'clock. And I came to bring him his key, because as like a mom, I went, you know, he left in such a rush. I was like, okay, I'll clean your apartment for you. And took me all day to clean that apartment. It really did. And I just wanted him to be so happy to get home, like, oh, I don't have to do anything, just relax. And so I met him there, and he was really sad. And he said a few things to me before he went upstairs of, you know, how sad he was. And we spoke on the phone a little bit more after that. And after that, for some reason, I get kind of cloudy around this time, because I'm not sure if the text came first or if I talked to him or the talk that we had came after. He sent me a text pretty much saying goodbye and that he's sorry for everything. And he sent me a link to a song by The Weeknd called The Final Lullaby. I've never heard it. I still haven't. And I don't want to right now. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to go there yet. I know it's been a year, but I'm not ready to even. Every time I hear The Weeknd on the radio, I turn it, because I don't want it to be that song, because I don't even know how it sounds. And so Saturday, you know, Friday night, and then Saturday, I called him early in the morning, and my daughter, Adriana, who's very close to him, called me and said, you know, I haven't been able to get in touch with us. And me either. Well, maybe he's just sleeping, because he, you know, had a long ride from Florida and he was with his dog. And, you know, so we're thinking like, okay, fine. So we went to my other daughter's house, who she had what they call seafood boil.
Okay.
So we were all over there and we're calling him like, hey, where are you? Come on over. No answer, nothing. And usually my son will get up, he'll go to the restroom, and then he'll call me, let me know like, hey, I'm sleeping, but I'll call you right back. And he didn't. So I was kind of concerned with that. But I figure I'll just let him sleep. And then I try to reach out to him again very late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. Nothing. And my daughter calls me again saying, "Mommy, I just don't feel right. I don't feel right." So what we did, we got, I got in the car, my husband came with me, I picked up my daughter, and we went over to his apartment. And this was on Sunday morning at this time, and Sunday early morning. And I unlocked his door, and his dog came immediately to me. Her name is Karma. It's a boxer. She's beautiful, beautiful boxer. And it looked like she had to go out. And my husband went ahead and walked her out. And I walked into the apartment a little bit more. And I saw feet laying on the ground. And it was my husband, it was my son's feet in his sandals. So I walked around more, and I was calling out his name, you know, Justin. And I was a little louder than that, of course. And as I turned the corner, I see him completely flat out on the ground. And I didn't know what to do. At first, I froze. I didn't know what to feel. I didn't know what to think. And I didn't feel like it was real. I felt this is not happening. Like, this is truly not happening right now. I got closer to him and I touched his hand as I was calling his name out. And he was cold to the touch. And when I looked at his face, I touched his cheek area, and he had a little foam on the side of his mouth and of the nose, and his eyes were very, very slightly open. And that's when I started to freak out. And I touched his chest, and my daughter and I just got up running around like chickens with our head cut off, screaming, like, we don't know what to do and like what was going on. And my husband came and he's like, "Okay, hold on, guys, just, you know, try to calm us down." He puts us in the back room, and I guess he's checking him out as well. And he committed suicide. And he left. He used a $20 bill to roll up, and he was self-medicating for quite some time. And he got into some substances, and he used a $20 bill, and it was still on top of the counter. The powder, whatever bluish, whitish powder, was on top of the counter. And believe it or not, the first thing I snatched was the $20. I just grabbed it, and just like, for some reason, I just thought someone might see it. And I don't know, not like that made a difference. I have my son's dead on the floor. They can see this, you know, but for some reason, me mentally, I guess, just grabbed it. And my husband called the police. So that was pretty much an ordeal for me. We called the family, the kids, the rest of my kids, and his father, my ex-husband, and we all came down to his apartment. So that was pretty much how that went for me. And because of that, like I said, it just gave me, I cried literally for a whole month straight. Every day, all day, at night, in the morning, my husband would touch me and I'll start crying, and my emotions were everywhere. So I started to see a psychiatrist and a psychotherapist, who I still see now. And it helps me very, very much. It helps me talk about it. It helps me. I am medicated as well, too. They did give me medication, and it is something that I did need it, because I had an imbalancement that would not prevent me from calming down or from stopping crying, because that's all I could do. And once I started the treatment, I started to feel a little better, and then I started to get angry and then mad. And then everything, like everybody tells me when someone passes away, "Oh, I could have done this. I could have done that. And why couldn't I have done more?" And It's just, I have a list of things of what I could have done differently.
Yes.
And I was angry at people that I felt did not treat my son right. Not that he was an angel, who knows what he did to these people to get them upset, but I was angry at them because of that, because he is hurt now. And it just took a while, but now I'm better. And in August, I went full blown. I started the Instagram. I was like, oh, honey, I gotta do a website. I gotta help people. I gotta get people more awareness. I gotta, you know, find out where we can do workshops and seminars and things for people for free to get help.
Yeah.
And my website is actually free of cost. And I have talk sessions there where people can go in, go onto the calendar, book a 30-minute session, and it's absolutely free. Let's talk about anything you need, any type of resources that you need. I will find out for you if I don't know it. But I'm here to help. I don't want anyone else going through what I went through, especially a mother losing a child or a spouse or parents or someone very close to them that has committed suicide. And they don't even have to commit suicide. People can just be depressed because they're just going through things, and or they've lost a parent, you know, due to health. Like myself, I lost both my parents. In 2015, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And yesterday, yay, I've been released from the oncologist.
Oh, dang.
So it's been 6 years. So right now I'm in remission. But in 2016, my mother passed. So I had to put all that on hold, my chemo and radiation and all that. So it was a tough journey for me, you know, because I was depressed over that as well, getting sick and losing my breast and feeling and looking different. And then this happens to my son, you know, and it hurts just thinking about it. It really hurts because I saw the signs. I saw the signs and I felt that I could have been a little bit more proactive. And now I am, even though he's gone now, but I want to be proactive now. If someone's having an issue, let's talk about it. Let's get people to talk about it. Let's train people to talk with people. And talk about it, you know, and let them know that it's a safe place for them to come and talk and not be criticized and not be judgmental over what people are saying. None of that, because who are we to judge?
Exactly.
We're not here to judge. So exactly. That's pretty much my little story in a nutshell.
Oh my God. I love that story. I love that story. I mean,
thank
honestly,
you.
When I saw your website, I've come from a lot of abuse in my family, like, and then also through high school, it was a whole thing. Like, I just felt like I didn't belong ever. And not to bring up a bad subject, but I went down the suicide road. Obviously it didn't work. And I thought I was a failure.
Thank God.
But at the time my mindset was like, God, I can't even do this right. You know, like it just made it worse. It didn't make it better. It just threw me more in a downward spiral.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally learned to put my past, everything, heal and start spreading, give a platform for people to tell their stories, to bring on people that are shining their light and show people that, and all of this is free. I don't have sponsors paying me. I don't have anything.
Same here.
No,
I'm doing it out of the generosity of myself. Yes.
Just
so we connect because we have a passion for this and we're not looking to get money or anything out of this. I did this because I spent my money on my website and my trainings because I wanted to help people for free.
my passion when I first started this, and I really didn't know how to really connect to the younger generation because it took me so long to really heal myself. And to like try to connect, but this is why I started it, is because when I was in my teens, I know like it's only gotten way worse in high schools. And I just wanted to reach out and tell them that no matter, you know, bullies, all of it, like you have no idea how mean those kids can be. I mean, it is life-changing me. And it's still like I am 48 years old. I still can feel what they did. And it just makes me feel this big. And nobody should ever feel that way. And I just want every child, every adult, every mom that's struggling with their babies because they're trying to heal themselves, but and take care of their kids and getting overwhelmed by work and everything else that sometimes throws them into a spiral. So, or, you know, you leave something and you're now in an abusive relationship. There's so many, like I literally had it all. So I can feel on all of these levels. And these are the people that need help, that really, they need help. And I was at a point where I was like, I don't have the money. I can't just go get help. You know, like I always thought it costed money. Like it's going to be too expensive. I don't have the insurance to cover it.
And it is still expensive for people that are trying to seek. If I didn't have health insurance, I tell you, I don't know if I would have had both a psychiatrist or a psychotherapist or either one. Right. I could just be dealing with this on my own and going to a regular doctor saying, hey, I'm depressed, I need something, some help, but not being able to talk about it and actual talk to a doctor that specializes in mental health, that was going to be different. And one thing I know from one of my sessions that they told me is that I can't help someone if I'm not 100% myself.
Yep.
I need to take care of me. And this is why I see the doctors that I see and do the things that I do with my website, with my organization, and just seeking out people to talk to or and to relate to and having the talk sessions. I have quite a few lined up actually. They're just back to back people rescheduling themselves to have talk sessions. And it's amazing how many people are out there that really want to talk and that they are actually looking for a way to solve their problems or to at least guide them to the right direction in which way they should be going.
Yes, 100%. I bring them on my podcast. I just have a feeling when I go and I, you know, scroll through, I look, I get this feeling and I'm like, wow, yours jumped out at me. That's why I stayed at, like, I feel like I've been chasing you for a while to get onto my podcast. Just because I was like, wow, this lady is amazing. And I knew about your son. You have that in your profile. And I was like, this lady is so strong. And that's, I was like, what an inspiration, you know?
Thank you. Thank
just
you.
To see that radiance that you illuminate, you know, you have so much positive and you do so much good. And I'm like, this lady's been through the mill. So.
Yes. I've been there. It's been hard. You know, I laugh now here and there because I like smiling and I like laughing because it makes me feel better. And that was the theme of my website is Hope My Smile Make You Smile.
Yeah.
I just want to make someone smile. Just make somebody smile, someone feel good just for a moment. in their darkest times. You know, I always tell people to make sure that they reach out to their loved ones or their friends that they haven't heard from in a while, just to just say, hey, a text message, an email, a voice message, anything, just to just say, hello, hey, I'm checking on you. And just so they know that they're not alone and they're being thought of. And honestly, sometimes that's all it takes for some people. It's just that one person to reach out to them.
Yes. I really want your website just to go viral. I really do. I really do.
Thank you. I still have work to do to it too. It's like every day I'm working on it, trying to make it look, you know, have as much information as I can on there for people when they go on there to look for information and resources. And it's a work in progress every day. I didn't realize how much work it was, but I enjoy it because it's my baby. It's something that I created and it's something that I can control. And it's something that I know is good for the people, and no one else is taking that and using it to get money from people to do services or anything like that. Everything is free.
Yes, that's beautiful. That's so beautiful. I literally just did a podcast on like just showing I'm an example because I healed myself completely free. Like I literally used all the resources that I could that were free to heal myself. And you know, I just want people to know this is able to happen. It can happen. So, what you're doing is beautiful. Really, it is.
Sandra, well, I appreciate that. Thank you. And I feel good doing it. I really do. I feel good doing it. I feel like this is something that I should be, almost like it is my calling. This is my calling. Like I need to help people that are struggling like this, only because I've been there for a while, for a long time.
Yeah.
And I didn't know who to talk to or how to get help. And if I had someone like myself back then, I would be okay. I would be okay. So now I am that person. Since there wasn't someone back then for me, then I am here for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Amazing. Amazing. I really love what you're doing. If you don't mind, I'm going to ask you a series of like 10 questions. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. What is the greatest lesson that you've ever learned?
I think the greatest lesson that I've ever learned is to not react on your first instinct.
Oh, good call.
And kind of take it back a little and think about it before you make that reaction or that thought or that comment. I put my foot in my mouth a lot of the times and I learned the hard way. And so now I just kind of step back and just do that and just listen and just kind of connect and see where it goes from there.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. What are you learning now?
I am actually learning. I just applied to become a mental health first aider trainer. So my goal is to make more people mental health first aiders so that they can help people. And I want to possibly get some to volunteer on my website for talk sessions. If I'm not able to talk to anyone or if I'm actually booked up, I can schedule them with someone else to talk with. And that's my goal. That's what I would like to do.
Nice.
And that should be going starting in September. I start my training.
I would love that. I will volunteer for that.
Yeah. Well, you'll know. You'll be the first to know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I'm very excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Hold me to it. 100%.
Okay. I will.
Yeah.
I will.
100%. Yeah. We'll exchange numbers or something after.
Okay.
I'm legit 100% on that.
Yes.
How has failure shaped your life?
Oh, goodness. Failure shaped my life. It made me become, and I know this sounds redundant because a lot of people probably say this, but it made me become who I am today. Like, I actually, I feel like I'm a better person now. Without the mistakes that I made, I wouldn't have known where I'm at or where I'm going.
Yes.
And I've made a lot. Okay. I've made a lot as a mother, as a person, as a boss, as a wife, a daughter, a sister. I've made a lot of mistakes and I've learned from them. And that's what made me who I am now, to the point where all I want to do is show love. All I want to do is show love, get love and receive love. And let me tell you one of my favorite books. It is, let me see if I have it here.
That's one of my questions. That's one of my questions.
Okay, what's your question?
Okay, good. What have you read that I should read?
Okay. It is called, you know, I think I lent it to my daughter. It's like my Bible. I told her to get her own copy. It is called Return to Love. Okay. And it's written by Miriam. Let me see if I can find out. Let me see. Return to Love by Marianne Williamson. Marianne. So it's Marianne. Mm-hmm. Williamson, Williamson.
Okay.
And that book is amazing. My best friend, my sister friend, gave that to me in 2015 when I got cancer. And it was a beautiful book. It was nothing but prayers in it. It was nothing but teaching me how to give love.
Yes.
Because a lot of people, oh, I love you, I love you. But do they know how to give love properly for someone to feel it and accept it and to open to you?
Yes.
So yes, that book is awesome. And also The Four Agreements by Manuel. The Four Agreements. That I live by that book. That is another Bible book that I have that I love. Those are the two major books that I love and that I will refer anyone to read.
Oh, that is great. All right, Sandra, how can I add value to you?
You have, just by having me as a guest on your podcast, helping me on your platform to get the word out, get my information out so other people can find out and just kind of share that. And to help, like I said, once I start doing the training for mental health first aiders, I'm just getting people to come on in and let's help people help people. Yeah, that's what we're here for.
I sign me up.
Yes,
I'm here for that 100%.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're very welcome. What has helped you the most on your healing journey?
Talking about things that I haven't talked about to anyone else with a certain person. It's my best friend, my sister friend, I call her. And there are certain things that I told her that I didn't even tell my own husband. But it was things like what my son said to me and more detail of the text. And the toxicology report and things like that, that I got back that I didn't share with anyone. That was just something really hard for me to do. And I needed to talk about it to someone. And that's why, again, I say that it's important to find that person to talk to, that person that will keep your, you know, keep it private and keep it secure and no judgment. But I needed to talk about it. I needed to get it out. And she was my person and she was awesome. And she's always awesome. Can't ask for a better best friend than that.
Yeah. Opening to your truth is, it's hard.
Yeah. It is, especially when you're opening to someone that know that that anyone can have judgment on you for whatever you say. They just do. Even though they say, oh, no, no, I'm good, or I don't, they will judge you. Yeah. They will. We just do. There's people that do.
Yes.
And we do that. And to be judged. To be judged to be judged and not feel, people are not going to talk to us if we're judgmental, if we're not giving them a safe place, if we feel that our words are maybe attacking that person, they're not going to talk to us. So having a safe place and safe person to talk to, I believe, is very, very key.
It is. It's 100% the key.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad that you were able to open you to your truth, though. I mean, I believe that is one of the first steps in healing, is just owning your truth and being
it is
to say it to yourself out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And really own it. So
yes,
that's
and I have to say that with that, meditation is important. Yeah. I've learned to meditate better because I was a poor meditator. I learned to meditate better. I learned to sit in silence and get my thoughts together. A lot of the time, there's a lot of stuff going on around us, and we're thinking that, okay, I can still do this with everything going on around us, but it's a distraction.
It is.
And when you are at peace with on your own, and just you're sitting in silence, whether it's in a room or the bathroom or somewhere where you can find peace, where there's no one, do that. I do it every day. I find peace somewhere every day. I come to my office, or I'll go to the restroom with my husband's home and he's following me around like a little puppy, or I'll sit out in my deck if no one's home. And I just meditate. Yes. I just meditate my feelings, and I bring awareness to how I am feeling right now.
Not the present.
And that helps so much. It really does. People, if they tried it, they really would notice a difference.
That's what this entire podcast is, self-healing and all the steps.
Mm-hmm.
Healing your chakras is, like all of them.
Yes.
Yeah. So yes. Beautiful. What do you think is the first step to awakening your heart?
Being honest with yourself.
Good job.
Just coming to a realization with yourself. You don't have to do this with anyone else, but just with yourself, knowing that you have an issue or possibly an issue, or that you need help with something and that you're struggling. People have bad days. People have not, good days. But we just need to do that, is just to be real to ourselves and stop. We lie to ourselves all the time, especially when we're like saying that, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And, I got a schedule of this, that, whatever. And even though people don't consider that lying, but when you're writing things down and you're scheduling yourself to do certain things or to be some places, and you don't do it because you don't want to, you're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself. So you need to make sure that you know this is something that you want to do, something that you want to open up to, and just be truthful with yourself and be honest. Sometimes I'm my worst critic. I will beat myself up. I really would. So just be honest with yourself is my question. I mean, my answer for that.
Okay. And don't beat yourself up, please.
I try not to, but it happens.
Give you some affirmations. I am strong. I am powerful. Come on,
that's
girl.
That's right.
Last question, and I'm kind of curious on this one. If you were given an opportunity to make a billboard that the entire world would see, what would it say?
a billboard,
it would be
hope my smile make you smile.
Yay. Okay, that's beautiful, because
that's
100%.
I want to see a smile. I love to see people smile.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful.
So, yes.
I kind of figured that was going to be a I have seriously enjoyed this conversation today. And I really want you to hold me to it. I'm going to, you know, share my number with you.
Yes.
And please, I'm in Florida. I have a
client. And I'm in Georgia. Okay.
Yeah. So anything that you need help with on that, I want to get involved. So I'm giving you me, like, I can help.
And that's all I need. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. It really means a lot, especially when I know that someone is just as passionate as I am for what I want to do and what needs to be done, actually.
It does. It's way overdue. And we need to, I mean, get these to... I want to get a flyer out to like high schools and everything. Like, you have no idea. I have things going on.
Yes.
In my head. I'm like,
yes, I'm actually in collaboration with, it's called Teen Spire Global, where they deal with a lot of different things, but I deal with the mental health portion of that when I did my interview with them, and they deal strictly with just teenagers that are really going through it. You know, I have young grandchildren. They're 9, 11, and one's going to be 14, and he's, you know, getting into eighth grade. And I talked to them about it. You know, my other grandson, he was teased in school. He was a bully. And he didn't talk to his mother about it.
Wow.
You know, because he didn't feel comfortable, or he thought his mother was going to get upset or go on a bus or what have you. Yeah. But even kids need somebody to talk to.
They do. And they're shamed because it's like boys are supposed to just be tough. And
they weren't raised like girls. Back in the day, I can remember if a boy fell, oh, get up, toughen up.
Yeah,
get a backbone. You're okay.
Up. Yeah.
Wipe, you know, honestly, rub it off. And really, then with a girl falls, like, oh my goodness, you know, and, you know, boys weren't allowed to cry, even like in the military, military and other places, like certain jobs, like police academy and things like that, they don't allow them to be soft. Like, they're like, get a backbone, like, be strong. You're a man, or you're not supposed to show emotion. So what happens when they lose someone, or what if they lost a child or a spouse or a parent?
Right.
How are they supposed to react? They're supposed to not have any reaction to that? That's what causes mental health, because nobody talks about it.
That's why we have to reverse this. We're going to, girl,
yes.
We got this. Yeah. I promise you, I will offer you as much help as I can. Thank you.
Yeah. I so appreciate you, because I do need help. I am right now solo doing this, and not that I mind, but, you know, having more people jump on board. And this is why I decided to become a mental health first aid trainer, so I can train people to do it. And so we can contact and get more people, you know, get a hold of more people that need help.
I felt that. I did. I was like, I gotta ask her. And then when you gave that little leeway, I'm like, boom, I'm in there.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. Awesome. All right. I am going to call it a night, but I first want you to share with all my listeners, how they can follow you on Instagram.
Yes, yes.
Your website, everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my website is easy. It is hope my smile make you smile.org. There's no plural, it's not smiles, it's just singular. So it's hope my smile make you smile.org. My Instagram is also hope my smile make you smile. My Facebook is Project Smile With Me. And I also have a Twitter account and a Snapchat. Twitter is at Smile for Gesto. And Snapchat is also Smile for Gesto is my Snapchat. Okay. But those are my accounts that I have. And I welcome anyone to please take a look at my website. If there's any questions you have, any comments, any suggestions of how you deal with things, how do you talk to people, or if you need information regarding that, please hit me up and I'll be willing to assist you with that, and with the help of Julie as well, with helping me get this platform, or getting me on her platform today, which was awesome. And thank you so much, Julie.
Absolutely, girl. I promise you, I am going to try to promote you as I am 100. I've never been this full on. I've never brought somebody on where I said, oh my God, I want to give you my time. I wanted this. This was the one that I really kind of deep dove on. And, you know, hearing your story, knowing, you know, I kind of, did a little bit of research, and I'm like, this lady's freaking amazing. So, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. You're amazing for doing this. This is awesome that you want to do this for people.
Yeah.
100%. And I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad that you made it through your tough times, you know, back then.
Yeah. I mean, it was for a reason, and I'm glad too. I mean, now I can say I'm glad, but you know, it was hard for me to admit. I was a mom at the time when I tried. Mm-hmm. So that's something in itself that I had to, that was a big tackle. So,
yeah, I can imagine being a mom and going through something like that. Like I said, I have 5 children, and I had probably postpartum every single time, and it was awful. And my kids were like almost back to back. You know, my oldest is 36. My daughter will be 35, and my son Justin would have been 33. And then I have a daughter that's 28 and a daughter, 29, I'm sorry. And a daughter that's 24.
Oh, wow.
So they're close in age like that, where it was kind of hard for me too, being a single mother, divorced single mother to deal with my stresses and having to deal with children as well.
Yeah.
So I understand.
Yeah. I have 3 myself, so I know the road, you know, it's not easy, but
no.
I offer you all my love right now. And I
thank you.
Any help that I can give you.
Thank you.
Just reach out. I am willing. I am willing to help you. I'll be an ear. I'll be, you know, your hands on, whatever you need.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And maybe we can talk, like you said, after this, and we can set something up so we can talk more.
Yeah, 100%. Right on. I am going to say goodnight to you, and just stay on here, and then I'll share my info. But thank you for joining me, and I hope to see you guys next time. Thank you. Okay, we're good. I stopped recording.
Okay.